Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring axolotls and science. How scientists learn from them, a learning podcast for kids.
Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. This time we're going to be looking at something pretty amazing. The axolotl and this creature, I mean, it can regenerate. It's like something out of science fiction. You know, and we've got a whole bunch of research here, scientific papers, reports all about this. And we're going to try to figure out what makes this little guy so special and, you know, what it might mean for us humans, you know, in the future, especially when it comes to medicine.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, we're not just talking about regrowing a tail or something like that. Axolotls can actually regenerate limbs, organs, even parts of their spinal cord, heart and brain. I mean, this is almost unheard of in nature, and it has huge potential, you know, for medicine and all sorts of things.
So before we get too far ahead of ourselves, maybe we should start by like describing this creature for our listeners.
Yeah.
You know, what are we dealing with here? What is an axolotl?
Sure. So picture a salamander, right? But yeah. One that's kind of like stuck in its like child form, you know, it's like the Peter Pan of salamanders. It's got this charming little smile, almost like a permanent smile, and these feathery external gills that make it look really, really graceful. And they're native to Mexico, you know, specifically the lakes around Mexico City. And the interesting thing is they never undergo a full metamorphosis, you know, like most salamanders. Do they kind of stay in this larval form their whole lives? And scientists call this neoteny.
Neoteny. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're always in their like teenage phase or something. Is that part of what gives them these amazing regenerative abilities?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that scientists are looking into. But there's another interesting thing about axolotls that I think is worth mentioning. You know, they have a place in Aztec mythology. They were seen as the transformed form of the god Iztaccíhuatl, who was trying to, you know, avoid being sacrificed. So he hid in the water and took on this axolotl form. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Definitely a creature with a story. But going back to the regeneration for a second, I mean, it's still kind of hard to wrap my head around it, you know, regrowing a limb. I mean, that's comic book stuff.
Yeah. You know, it is mind blowing. And it makes you wonder, like, what if humans could do that? Imagine the implications for medicine. I mean, spinal cord injuries, heart damage, even damage from a stroke could potentially be repaired.
Okay, I'm starting to see why scientists are so fascinated by them. So how do they do it? Like, what's the secret?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. It all comes down to the axolotl's genome. And let me tell you, it's an extraordinary one. 32 billion base pairs. That's one of the largest and most complex genomes ever sequenced. It's actually over 10 times the size of the human genome.
Wow, that's a lot of genetic information to unpack. So what have researchers learned from studying this this massive genome?
Well, they've discovered that there are specific genes and regulatory elements within this, you know, this huge genetic code that are directly involved in regeneration. And one of the most exciting findings is a gene called PAX7, which seems to be really crucial for muscle regeneration.
So by studying these genes, could we one day figure out how to turn on similar regenerative abilities in humans?
You know, that's the hope, but it's not just about the genes themselves. It's also about how those genes are expressed and controlled, and that's where epigenetics comes in.
Epigenetics. Can you explain that a little bit? It sounds complicated.
Sure. So think of it this way. If your DNA is the hardware, epigenetics is the software. It can switch genes on or off, telling cells how to behave. And in axolotls, it seems like these epigenetic mechanisms are really finely tuned for regeneration.
So it's like they have this unique combination of genes and this epigenetic control that allows them to regenerate in a way that no other species can. I mean, are there any other animals that even come close to what the axolotl can do?
Well, there are some creatures with pretty impressive regenerative abilities, like starfish can regrow lost arms, and some types of salamanders and fish can regenerate too. But the axolotl's ability to regenerate complex structures so quickly and completely is really what sets it apart.
Okay, yeah. So it's not just they can regenerate, it's how well they do it that's really remarkable.
Yeah.
So what is it about them that makes them such superstars of regeneration?
Well, one really important factor is a structure called the AER. That stands for apical ectodermal ridge, and it's essential for limb development in all vertebrates, even us.
Yeah.
But in most species, the AER disappears after the limb is fully formed, you know, during embryonic development.
Yeah.
But in axolotls, it sticks around for their whole lives.
Oh, wow. So it's like they have this built-in regeneration toolkit always ready to go.
Exactly. So when an axolotl loses a limb, cells at the injury site, they gather together and form this cluster of cells called a blastema. And these cells, they can become any type of cell. And the AER acts like a conductor, you know, guiding these cells to form a brand new limb, perfectly patterned and functional.
That's incredible. It's like their cells just know how to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And is this where those mitochondria-related musculoskeletal cell populations come in? I remember reading about that in one of the papers.
Oh, yeah, you're right on the money there. But those cells are fascinating because they're involved in developing both muscle and bone, and their mitochondria, you know, those are the powerhouses of the cell. They seem to be absolutely crucial for this energy-intensive process of regeneration. And get this, these cells aren't just limited to limb regeneration. They're also involved in regenerating the heart and spinal cord.
Wow. So they're like the axolotl's all-star repair crew. It's just mind-boggling how they can regenerate so many different types of tissues. But before we go too deep into the medical possibilities here, there's something else we need to talk about, and that's the fact that axolotls are critically endangered in the wild.
Yeah, it's a sad truth. You know, a creature with these incredible abilities is facing the threat of extinction. But maybe we can save that discussion for after we explore, you know, what potential benefits they might hold for human medicine.
Yeah, it is kind of strange, isn't it? This creature with these, you know, almost superhuman powers is struggling to survive in its natural habitat. So what exactly are the biggest threats facing the axolotl?
Well, the main problem is their habitat. You know, the Sucumelco canals and the lakes around Mexico City, they've been really badly affected by human activity. I mean, urban development around Mexico City has just encroached on their home. And then you've got pollution, you know, from agriculture and sewage and even plastic waste. It's all contaminating the water.
So we're taking away their home and then polluting what's left. It's a pretty dire situation.
Yeah, it really is. And to make matters even worse, you've got these invasive species, you know, fish like tilapia and carp, they were introduced, and now they're competing with the axolotls for food and resources. And they even prey on axolotl eggs and larvae, which really messes with their ability to reproduce and maintain a healthy population. You know,
habitat loss, pollution, invasive species, it's like a triple whammy.
Yeah.
So are there any efforts being made to, you know, help the axolotl recover?
Well, the good news is that there's growing awareness of the problem, you know, and there are conservation efforts underway. A lot of the focus is on habitat restoration, you know, especially in those Ocumilco canals.
So what does habitat restoration actually look like? Like, what are they doing to make things better?
It's a multi-pronged approach, really. Some of it involves improving the water quality, you know, reducing pollutants and restoring native plants. There are also programs to remove those invasive fish that we talked about, try to give the axolotl a fighting chance.
And are they doing anything to educate people about, you know, the axolotl's situation? It seems like public awareness is really important in a case like this.
Oh, absolutely. Education is key. You know, institutions like the Amphibian Axolotl Museum and the Amphibian Conservation Center in Mexico City, they're doing some great work. They've got research programs, breeding programs, and they do a lot of public education, you know, raising awareness about the threats these creatures face and what we can do to protect them.
Well, that's good to hear. You know, it's encouraging that there are people out there fighting for these amazing animals. It would be a real tragedy to lose a creature with so much potential, especially when we consider, you know, what they might teach us about human health and longevity.
It really is remarkable how they age, you know. They're not immortal or anything, but they show very few signs of aging, and they can regenerate throughout their lives, which has got a lot of researchers thinking about what this might mean for human aging. You know, could studying axolotls help us unlock the secrets to slowing down or even reversing the aging process?
I mean, that would be incredible. And I know scientists are also looking to the axolotl for potential breakthroughs in treating, you know, all sorts of injuries and diseases. So what are some of the most promising areas of research in that regard?
Well, one of the most exciting things is the potential to apply the axolotl's regenerative abilities to human medicine. You know, scientists are working really hard to figure out how they regenerate limbs, organs, even parts of their brain and spinal cord.
Yeah, it sounds like the possibilities are endless if we can just, you know, crack the code. So where are we now in terms of turning this research into actual treatments?
It's a long road, you know, and it's complicated, but there are some really promising developments happening. Researchers are digging deep into the axolotl's genome, studying their cells, and trying to understand the signaling pathways that control the regeneration process.
So they're basically trying to figure out, you know, what makes the whole system tick? What are some of the specific breakthroughs that they're hoping for?
The main thing is to identify the specific genes and proteins that are essential for regeneration. We've already talked about the PAX7 gene and its role in muscle regeneration, but there are many other pieces of the puzzle that we still need to find. You know, the goal is to figure out how all of these genes and proteins work together to initiate and control the regrowth of complex tissues.
So it's about identifying the key players and understanding how they interact. What about the cells themselves? Are there any specific types of cells that are really important for regeneration?
Oh, definitely. Those mitochondria-rich musculoskeletal cells that we talked about earlier, they're a great example. They're involved in limb regeneration, but they also seem to play a role in regenerating the heart and spinal cords. Like, they have this incredible ability to morph into different cell types, you know, whatever's needed for the repair job.
Wow. It's amazing how much potential these cells seem to have.
Yeah.
So what are some of the ways that scientists are trying to harness this potential, you know, and translate it into therapies for humans?
One really promising avenue is using biomaterials and growth factors to basically create an environment that mimics the axolotl's blastema. Remember that cluster of cells that forms at the injury site and kickstarts the regeneration process. The idea is to try to replicate these conditions in humans, you know, and hopefully stimulate a similar regenerative response.
So they're trying to create a kind of artificial regeneration zone. Are there any other approaches that they're exploring?
Well, there's also a lot of excitement around gene editing techniques. You know, scientists are looking into the possibility of using CRISPR and other tools to activate regenerative genes in human cells.
Yeah, gene editing is a pretty powerful tool, but it also raises some ethical questions, right?
Absolutely. You know, any technology that has the potential to alter human DNA, you know, we have to be extremely careful and really consider all the implications. But the potential benefits are undeniable, and the research in this area is being conducted, you know, with a lot of responsibility and oversight.
Okay, that's good to hear. So let's just say for a moment that we do manage to unlock the secrets of axolotl regeneration. I mean, what could that mean for the future of medicine?
Well, the implications are pretty mind-blowing. Imagine a world where we can repair spinal cord injuries, regrow damaged heart tissue, and even reverse the effects of neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's.
It sounds like science fiction, but it's becoming more and more clear that regeneration, you know, this thing that used to be a distant dream, it's actually becoming a real possibility.
Exactly. And even if we don't achieve full limb regeneration in humans right away, you know, the knowledge that we're gaining from studying axolotls could lead to amazing advances in wound healing tissue repair and maybe even anti-aging therapies. The axolotl is a real beacon of hope. You know, it shows us that regeneration isn't just a fantasy, it's a force of nature. And by understanding it, we can unlock a future full of possibilities for human health and well-being.
It's pretty amazing to think that, you know, we could be so close to figuring out how to regenerate like axolotls do. So what are some of the roadblocks? You know, what are scientists up against when it comes to turning these discoveries into actual treatments for humans?
Well, human biology is complicated, you know, way more complex than an axolotl. Axolotls are incredible regenerators, but our systems, you know, our immune systems, the way our cells talk to each other and just the size of us is all very different, and it presents some serious challenges.
So we can't just copy and paste the axolotl genes, you know, into humans and expect it to work.
If only it were that easy. It's really about understanding the whole network of signals that tell cells to regenerate. You know, it's like trying to decode a secret language, then figure out the grammar rules and then write a new book using that language.
Yeah, that sounds super complicated. So what are scientists doing, you know, to try to get around these problems?
One strategy is to start small, you know, focus on things that are more manageable. So instead of, you know, jumping right into limb regeneration, they're looking at ways to improve our natural healing abilities. Like, for example, they're studying how axolotls can heal wounds without any scars, something that humans, you know, aren't very good at.
So by understanding how axolotls heal, we could develop better treatments for like burns and cuts and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Another really promising area is tissue engineering. You know, scientists are trying to figure out how to grow new tissues and organs in the lab using what they've learned from axolotls. I know, right? And the axolotl is giving us clues, you know, about how to make that happen. They've proven that regeneration is possible. Now it's up to us to figure out how to do it ourselves.
Well, this deep dive has been absolutely fascinating. You know, we've gone from ancient myths about the axolotl to the cutting edge of regenerative medicine. And I feel like we've only scratched the surface of what these creatures can teach us.
Yeah, we have. And that's what makes this whole field so exciting. The axolotl is a perfect example of how much we still have to learn from nature. You know, by studying these creatures, we can gain a deeper understanding of life itself.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, is there one main takeaway you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think the most important thing to remember is that regeneration isn't just a fantasy. You know, the axolotl has shown us that it's real, it happens in nature. And if we can understand how it works, we can unlock all kinds of possibilities for human health and well-being.
Well, thank you so much for taking us on this incredible journey. You know, it's been truly eye-opening. And to all of our listeners out there, if you're as amazed by the axolotl as we are, we encourage you to, you know, keep learning, keep exploring, and who knows, maybe one of you listening will be the one to make the next big breakthrough in regenerative medicine. Until next time, keep diving deep.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.